Begin reading in verse 21. We'll read the six verses that are before us here, and we'll come back to our text verse. Actually, they're all our text verse, but there's one certain verse I want to concentrate on for a few minutes before we get to the rest of them. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 21. A voice was heard from the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel. They have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. And truly is the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel, or the salvation of America, or the salvation of your soul and mine. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers, and they have. America's in fastly devouring everything that our forefathers had labored for. Men and women have laid their lives down on the battlefields in foreign countries to bring us what we have. Our shame is quickly devouring what they fought and bled and died for. Their flocks and herds, their sons and their daughters, we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. But we have sinned against the Lord our God. And you can't get people to say that. Some of the hardest words in human vocabulary is to confess that we have sinned against God and against man. David said, before thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. So if you've sinned against man, not only have you sinned against man, but you've sinned against God, because all sin is against God. So my sin's not hurting anybody, your sin's hurting God. He says here that here we and our fathers from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And we all can say amen to that section of Scripture. Look in verse 22 is actually the central theme of this passage of Scripture. He says the backslider. He's talking to the backslider. He says, return ye backsliding children. Now, we all know what a backslider is. So well, I don't know what one is. Well, you will before this sermon's over. A backslider, and this actually is almost like an oxymoron, would be classified as a carnal Christian. And I mean, that really doesn't go together, does it? They said something to Billy Sunday one time about a worldly Christian. He said, you might as well be talking about a heavenly devil. Worldly, it just doesn't go together. But we do know by 1 Corinthians that many believers are carnal. Maybe they didn't start off that way, but somewhere down the line they fell into this and they backslid on God. You know what a backslid? We think we backslid when we've gotten away from our Bible and we get off our knees away from prayer, and that you have backslidden. But backsliding Christians, there's an attitude of worldliness. You say, well, I don't watch soap operas. That's not the only thing that's worldly. Worldliness not necessarily is something you do. It's an attitude that you have. Anything that cools your love for Jesus is worldliness. You can do good things and still God said, I don't want this, I want this over here. What I'm saying is that you can do what you classify that is good, but yet you're doing it at the wrong time when you should be doing something that God has commissioned you to do at a certain point of time, and thereby you come carnal. You get away from God. There we classify as a backslider as a bitter Christian. Now, there again, those two don't go together, but we have Christians that are bitter. They're bitter at themselves. They're bitter at their parents. They're bitter at the pastor. They're bitter at God. Bitter Christians. We have hateful Christians. We have, now, that is really doesn't go together, because if you hate your brother whom you've seen, how can you love God whom you've not seen? But you know what I mean by being hateful to somebody with a spiteful attitude. We have doubting Christians. That's a backslider. We have lazy Christians, that's a backslider. People go away from God because of laziness many, many times. We have callous Christians, they no longer care about the souls of men. That is a backslidden Christian. When you no longer care about men and women and boys and girls who are lost for eternity without God, you are away from God. Because that is the heartbeat of God. He sent Jesus into the world to do one thing, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. And so if it hadn't have been for us being lost, Christ would have never come. And that is our commission. And the final one that he left us. You remember they were all worried about the kingdom in Acts chapter 1. He said, you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel, and that's in verse 5. Then he says in verse 6, he said, don't worry about that right now. He said, what you've got to be worried about is the Holy Ghost coming upon you. You shall receive power, and then after that power, you'll be witnesses unto me. Somebody says, well, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Okay, then where are you witnessing? See, that people talk about being filled with the Spirit, but don't ever open their mouth to tell anybody about the Lord. I wouldn't give you a plugged nickel for their filling. He said, if you become filled with the Spirit, you'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. So we know what a backslider is. He says, to return, oh, backsliding, you backsliding children. Now, that is an invitation to every child of God that is away from God this morning. Do you know this morning that you backslid? Well, then you are part of the reason the song service has been hindered. It's because of your carnal and worldly attitude. Then secondly, there is another application for the backslider, and this is the one I want to concentrate on this morning. The backslider is not only refers to the believer gone astray, but it also refers to those that don't know God. Because you have to understand that many talking here, the nation of Israel, but if you bring it down to the personal application, these people have gone away from the faith of their forefathers and chasing other gods and worshiping Molech and Baal and you name it, and they're worshiping and they're sacrificing their own kids to these things. So then we have to apply these things to the unbeliever, those that don't know the Lord. And he says here that he's inviting the backsliding child to return. Now, he has fallen back. Now, how can you say that a backslider is referring to one that has never been saved? I'll tell you how. It's because we've backslidden away from the original design and intention that God had for man. Amen. Because in Adam, we all belong to the Lord. We were created in a perfect state in Adam. But you and I both know what happened according to Romans 5 and 12. For wherefore, as by one man, and you were there and I was there. Well, I'm not related to so-and-so. Yes, you are. We're all related to each other. Say, we're all God's children. No, we're not. No, we're not. Physically speaking, that may be the case, but not spiritually speaking. There is no such thing as the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. It does not exist. Because of this verse, as by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin. So he says then, for death it's passed upon all men, for all have sinned. When did that happen? It happened in Adam when he fell. And thereby we have backslid from the original state of our perfect being in fellowship with God. We no longer have that. We were coming to this world ruined. We came into the world craving things that were against God. Every child born of man is ruined when he gets here. He's fallen back from where God intended him to be. God never intended for man to become the vile creature he's become. So, well, there's all that's good in everybody. That's a lie to the pits of the damned. He's no good. Listen, there's none good. No, not one. That's Bible. And the other came out of the mouth of a liberal preacher. God never intended for man to be in such misery and such depravity that he's living in now. And the squalor and the sin that he indulges in. God never intended for man to live like that. He never intended for man to rage war like they're doing now in the Middle East. So you against man defending himself? Absolutely not. God, listen, God instituted war because of sin. You say, well, God, yes, sir, he told Joshua to go in there and wipe them all out. He wouldn't have done that had they repented. But he gave them 400 years to repent, and they wouldn't do it. And even after the 400 years, he gave them 40 more years as they wandered that wilderness and died off. They had thousands of people dying, had funerals every day until all that crowd died away. And what's God doing? There's a twofold there. He's judging those that wouldn't go in, and he's giving others space for repentance because God knows what's coming up. They heard, you remember what Rahab the harlot said? We heard about what went on down there in Egypt and how God parted the Red Sea, and there wasn't but one that would believe it. So don't tell me they didn't hear the message. They heard it. And only one person out of them. He said, our hearts melted within us, which means the convicting power of God came on them. But they still refused. So God instituted Joshua to go in. It's judgment time now. So man's supposed to be able to defend himself. I believe America and ought to have a good defense. I think we ought to have the best in the world. I don't trust these rogue nations around here, and I think we ought to go ahead and take care of a lot of things before they get out of hand. We could go back and have the mentality in this nation that had in the Second World War to set out to win something. If you ain't going to win it, then quit playing with it. God never intended man to rage war. He never intended man to become a harlot. Never intended man to be a child abuser, a child molester. He never intended his creation to shack up without being married. You know what happened over here last week? I read in the paper where a judge in North Carolina struck down a 200-year-old law that said it was against the law for man and woman to live together without being married. It's still against the law of God. I don't care what judge said, it's all right. God still calls it sin. Never intended for man to be a murderer, a rapist, a thief, a liar, a cheat. Never intended for any of that. He never intended for man to live in such debauchery. So we've backslidden from what we used to be in Adam before the fall. So he says in verse number 22, to the backsliding children created in his image, return. You know what the Bible says about the backslider? Proverbs 14 and 14 says he'll be filled with his own ways. What does that mean? That means the wayward sinner is going to be found out by his own sin. See, we won't have to worry about the rules that my mom and daddy has set down before us. No. Listen, let me tell you, one of these days, your own sin is going to put a hurting on you. You don't have to worry about mom and daddy. Your sin's going to do it to you. That thing that you so love, that you rolled under your tongue like a sweet morsel and think, this is the greatest thing in the world, that's what's going to get you. It's not the mean preacher that's standing in the pulpit that loves you with all of his heart, trying to keep you from going to hell and ruining your life. Amen. Will you hate me, or will you become my enemy because I tell you the truth? You see, man is not to worry about the law coming and getting him. His own sin's going to lasso him. And that may be a result of it, and many times our sin does get us in trouble to the point where we have to be lassoed by the law. My daddy went home one day and told my mama what I was doing. She said, not my son. He said, oh yeah, your son. It's amazing how many times a mama doesn't want, and even sometimes daddies don't want to admit what the kids are doing. But he said, if you give him enough rope and I'm going to give him his freedom, he'll hang himself. There was some knowledge in that. You know why? Because the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. And they did. I got careless because I thought the old man was dumb as a box of rocks. See, a lot of times we play dumb. Like, you remember Columbo on television? He's always catching a criminal because he comes dressed in an old raggedy coat, looks like he ain't got 2 cents to rub together and hadn't got any sense at all to get out of the rain. Plays dumb. Sometimes it pays to play a little dumb. They think you're crazy, they think you're stupid, they don't think you know anything. All of a sudden you got them. There are three things about God says about the backslider in the verses I just read to you, and I want to give you at least one of these. First thing God says about the backslider, and he comments about the backslider's lamentation. In verse number 21, he said, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. He's talking here about those that are steeped in their own sin. What are they doing? They're weeping. People who live in sin and enjoy sin and lap up sin and eat up sin, mark her down, there's going to be a lot of weeping in that person's life. Amen. May not come right now, honey, but you listen to what I'm telling you. And when you get away from me and say, when I get out of here, I ain't never coming back, hey, it'll keep ringing in your ears. Amen. Sin's going to cause you more grief than you ever thought possible. Amen. You may be blaming somebody else right now. You may say, boy, if I could just get away from this church, if I could just get away from my home. Just hang on a while, baby. If you live long enough, you're going to live to hear this sermon ringing back in your ears. A lot of tears being shed in your life because of one thing, sin. Where were they weeping? You've got to ask yourself some questions when you read the Bible. Reading it's good, but meditating on it's better. They're weeping in high places. You remember the television commercial? I think it's still around. Miller High Life. Well, don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. How many in here own a television? How many in here knew what I was talking about? Thank you for not lying to me. Miller High Life. Some of you used to drink Miller. But Miller will not give you a high life. Miller will give you a low life. And Bud don't make you wiser. Bud makes you dumber. Dr. Martin always said you ought to pour it back in the horse where it come from. Where did they hear the weeping coming from? They come from the high places. They come from the places you ordinarily think you're going to hear laughter coming from it. Where's that? Wild Wing Cafe. Hey, we had a good time last Friday night at the Wild Wing. Where'd it come? Hey, the high places, that's the nightclubs. And the bars. And that last party you went to. Oh, so-and-so really puts on a good party. You in his party? Oh, yeah, man, we had a great time. What'd you say? Man, we got so stoned we couldn't even find our way home. Last time we got together with all our wild friends. Well, we rocked the house down, man. The whole house was rocking so much I had to call the police out there to tell us to calm it down. I tell you, we had a great time. See, they're still doing the same thing I was doing when I was a teenager. They just call it things different now. We didn't have the Wild Wing Cafe. We had the Midnight Sun. How many of y'all remember the Midnight Sun? Well, we've got some truthful folks in here. The rest of you will have to repent on the way home. And the loading dock and O'Sullivan's. See, O'Sullivan's, you had to wear a suit to go down there because there was a disco place where you danced with disco. I'd like to see David Howell dancing disco, wouldn't you? What's the high places? Your pot parties. Now, thank you for this water here. Somebody put this up here. Thank you. What's the high places? That rock concert, that rap concert you just come from. What's the high places? Oh, when you just came back from listening to Willie. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. You didn't know I could do that, did you? I'd do a pretty good Elvis. High places. You see these people riding down the road and all you can hear is boom, 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 boom. And listen, the whole car, they drive little bitty cars and they got speakers this big in them. And when that beat comes, the car does this right here. It jumps over as it goes down the road. What are we talking about? High places, man, they're having a ball. And you never expect to hear weeping coming out of those places. Then you can come down to things that are really not what we classify as sinful. They're good, but how about the day you got married? You was a happy bride, wasn't you? But you ain't so happy now. Oh, no laughing there. How about the day that baby was born? Well, it was a high place, wasn't it? But you ain't laughing about that baby being born no more. You get the drift? A voice was heard. Where was it heard, preacher? Hey, it sure couldn't be no crying coming out of the Wild Wing Cafe, preacher. It might not have been crying while they was there, but they was crying on the way home. They was crying on the inside while they was there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You sitting here this morning weeping on the inside. High places. You're a member of a Baptist church and you got your name on the roll and you've made a profession of faith, but this is the kind of life that you live in. You know what's the matter with you? You're going straight to hell when you die. There's no peace in your heart. You never expect to hear. You never thought you'd be crying over that marriage that you was once so happy in. And you never thought that that child that you was once so gleeful about being born was ever going to step on you like they have done. you tilt your ear just a little bit and lift your head and you can hear them. What are you listening for? You hear that? They're crying, wailing, weeping. Where's that coming from? That's coming from a high place. That's coming from that bar down the street. That's coming from that movie house. That party that's going on down there in your neighborhood. You hear that? Where they had to call the cops and got to let you? That's where it's coming from. That's where the weeping came from. That's what the Bible says. Why were they weeping? They should have been laughing. But why are they weeping? You ought to be rejoicing, hey? These are the things the best the world has to offer. When they first gave it to you, you thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Turn the clock up not long at all, and there's weeping. Amen. What happened? The Bible tells you in verse 21. He said, weeping and supplication. And he said, because, for they have, number one, they've perverted their way. See, now God never intended you to forgo that direction. He never intended for you to take the wrong path, although we've all done it. Isaiah 53 and 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into our own way. It's my way, preacher. It's my way. I'll do what I want to do. That's a perverted way. Amen. There's only one way. That's Christ's way. Amen. Anything else is perverted. Amen. I don't care if it's the Pope or the priest or the pastor or the bishop or whoever it is. It's perverted. It's God's way. They took a crooked path, or they made a crooked path. Romans 3 and 12 says, for they all have gone out of the way. They all together become unprofitable. There is none good. No, not one. Not one person in this church will ever be able to get to heaven on their profession. Well, I don't care how many you've made. I made five or six. I can't even remember. But you ain't going to get to heaven on it. I prayed to sin. You'll never get to heaven on it. We have perverted our way. Why did we do that? Because we're dumb. Bible said, listen to it. Proverbs 19 and 3, the foolishness of man perverted his way. We're just plain foolish. We look at these teenagers and they're making crazy decisions sometimes. Not all of them, but some of them do that. And we say, they're foolish. Yeah, and so are we. I know some 50-year-old adults are making some pretty stupid decisions. We've perverted our way because we're foolish. People have tried to tell us things, we won't listen. They've tried to warn us and turn our ear, deaf ear to this. And see, we've gotten hooked up with people that have led us in places we never thought we would go. We thought these people were our friends. That's a foolish decision. That's perverted. You see, perversion is twisting of that which God intended for it to be. Well, see, a man and a woman in the bonds of marriage should have the joy of having sexual relationships. Okay, I was just wondering if I was, y'all joined that cult, you know, where they joined the Hale-Bopp comic because they didn't believe in it. But see, man has perverted that. Man has now got all kinds of filthy literature in print and on the internet. He's perverted what God created. Man perverts everything he touches. Well, I don't really believe, I don't appreciate you coming down on man. Then there's about 10 doors in this church, honey. And I'm not trying to be mean. I really not. I love these people in this church, and I love you. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to preach truth regardless. This is the book. Man never intended for man to lie with man. I mean, listen, if me and Chad went to some place God sent us, and I was on a preaching trip, and I couldn't drive, and he drove me, and all they would give us is one bed in a room, somebody's going to sleep on the floor. I mean, I love Chad like he's my son, I do, but I ain't sleeping in the same bed with him. Look in Isaiah chapter 59. You know what happens when you pervert your way? See, God's way is a way of submission. Perversion is rebellion. God's way is through grace. Perversion is works. Isaiah 59 and verse number 8. The way of peace have they not known. Why is that? Is in there's no judgment in their goings, and they have made them crooked paths. Everybody that takes a perverted way lacks peace. Amen. See, you can't go contrary to this Bible and have peace. I don't care who you are. Before I was converted, I perverted God's way. And every time I did, and I tell you this, I enjoyed it. Man tells you there ain't no pleasure in sin, doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, there's much pleasure in it. If there wasn't, there wouldn't be so many people doing it. Our flesh loves to hate God. Every lost person in here is at war with God, whether you realize it or not. Carnal mind is enmity against God. Not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Those who follow the crooked path will never, ever, ever, ever have a moment's peace. Let me tell you this, the more crooked your path becomes, the more tormented your mind will be. Have you ever looked at pictures of Charles Manson today? He's a tormented person. I watched where they interviewed him when they brought him up for parole. He doesn't even have a mind that can't function anymore. Proverbs 28. How about you this morning? You know peace? You got peace? If you've got peace, it's because you got on the right path. Because if you're in a perverted way this morning, if you're in a way that's of your own making, if you're in a way of rebellion, if you're in a way that's enjoying sin, then you're on a perverted way. God never intended for you to enjoy sin. That's not God's will for you to like sin. It's not. It's not God's will for you to enjoy that sex you had with that boy this weekend. God never intended you to enjoy that. See, people have got this idea that sex came after the fall. Oh, no. The Bible told Adam and Eve before the fall, he said to be fruitful and multiply. That was a command of God before the fall ever came. But God never intended for you to look at that filth and that garbage and feed your mind on all that hell all week long and come in here and try to think we're going to have a spiritual service. You can't do it. Proverbs 28. Verse 18. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Hey, I like that. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. What's that mean? That means you're going down quick. All at one time. What's that mean, preacher? That means one day everything's, boy, you're in the high places. The next day you're weeping. Because I'm telling you this, if you keep going in the path that some of you are going, God's going to turn this thing on you just like that. All he's got to do is speak the word, and your world will do this. One day Adam Biggerstaff had freedom, and the next day he was in prison. One day Michael Constance had freedom, next day he was in jail. Don't tell me it can't happen. One day everything seems to be all right, and you come home the next day, and your wife has left you a note and says she's left you. Hey. All at once. Your day ain't come right, but it's coming. And I'm going to tell you what, there ain't a teenager in this building that's in rebellion that has any peace. And if you'd be honest with me and let me just get close to you enough just to talk to you, I'd have you crying in 5 minutes. Remember that woman we went to see one time? She was bubbly, full of life, all the time up, all the time how great things are. Roll one, let's smoke some, and all the time just everything's just, boy, life's a party, and I'm enjoying myself. Remember that time we sat down there, and I got to the real her? Because, see, I knew she tried to kill herself. Nobody tries to kill themselves. All that's a front, that's a fake. And for the first time in her life, I got down into the heart
And you could, the whole atmosphere of that house completely changed. And she was faced with what life had dealt her. She was a miserable person. You'd see her today and she's still the same way. Last time she came here, she was like that. She put on. Nobody that lives in the world is happy. I don't care what they say. My Bible says otherwise. Those that take a crooked path have no peace. There is no peace, say my God, to the wicked. Nobody in this building that is lost and going down a perverse way has peace in your heart. You don't have it. And there are times when you lay down at night, my God in heaven, you thought about killing yourself. Wish I could die! But you know that if you pull that trigger, you're going to wake up in hell. You better know it. Because I'm telling you this, you think this is hell. This is a hell, but it's not the hell. That's 10 billion times beyond comprehension of my mind, even put into words, worse than what you're going through right now. You invested your heart, your life into that girl, and boy, she was it, and you moved in, and y'all shacked up, and things went well, and all of a sudden you come home, you got a note here, and your whole world comes crumbling in because she left you for somebody else. Just in one day can change. Your whole, listen, that's the reason it's a very, very dangerous thing to look at Jesus and say, you know, I'll come to you later, but I want this right now. I can't leave this woman. I can't give up this man to have you. Honey, I'm telling you, there's a woman walked this aisle, it's been some years ago, weeping, crying, and wailing. But she had a live-in boyfriend. I went to her house. I don't remember who was with me. I was with somebody. But I went to her house, and she said these words to me. She said, I'm going to get saved one day, but I can't give him up. And to talk to her right now, she's as hard as that thing right there. Your sin is going to turn on you, and you're going down at once. I just read it to you out of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, the Bible says they're weeping for two reasons. They're weeping because they perverted their way. But there's another reason why they're weeping. If you remember reading the verse, here's what it says. It's because they forgot the Lord their God. You see, when I rebelled against authority and chased the world, basically, I didn't consciously realize this at the time, but what I was doing was thumbing my nose in the face of God and said, I'll catch you later. And I forgot about God. And as some of you in here wish you could forget about God, because see, you come in here and you get faced with it. And looking at the floor ain't going to help you. So you better pay attention. You better look this way, because I'm telling you, this may be the last time you hear what you're hearing today. This is one of the most important things you've ever heard in your life. So all of my teenage years, you know what I did? I worked at this not to think about God. I didn't want God in my mind. Because if I thought about God, then I got to talk and think about what I've got to, and I got a lot to answer for. And I got to think about eternity and dying. And I'm having too much fun to think about that stuff right now, so I'll just put God on a shelf and I won't think about him. So I forgot my God. But you know what I was doing? Before long, I was weeping. You see, my friends never saw me weeping. I didn't weep in front of them. Amen. They were supplying me with all them drugs. I went, well, I know how. I ain't going to show nobody I'm weeping. I can remember laying in the bed at night. Because, see, I had moved in with some guy in them apartments. And 2 weeks after I moved in with him, he left and I was all by myself. And so I remember laying in bed at night weeping. one thing I was weeping about, not only because I perverted my ways, but because I'd forgotten God. Now, consciously, I didn't think it that, but that's what it was. Because, see, man's heart is never satisfied until God fills it.
Amen.
And you've tried to fill it with everything in this world. You've tried to fill it with your friends, and that hasn't worked. You've tried to fill it with the drugs, and that hasn't worked. You've tried to fill it with parties, and that hasn't worked. You've tried to fill it with success, that hasn't worked. You've tried to fill it with money, and that hasn't worked. You've tried to fill it with bank accounts, that hasn't worked. You've tried to fill it with cars, that hasn't worked. You've tried to fill it with swimming pools, that hasn't worked. A new house, that hasn't worked. Ain't nothing worked! God is the only thing to satisfy that heart. Now, why do people forget God? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 11. The houses full of all goods things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, hey, let me ask you something. Listen, the last time you rebelled against authority, your mother and your father, answer this one question. What did you ever do to feed your own face? They're feeding you. Unless you're like those that Alan talked about in Sunday school this morning, having tied in the basement and not feeding them. And I don't see anybody like that today. Closest one to it is Michael Jett. But he ain't starving. Matter of fact, ever since he's been talking to that woman, he doesn't even gain a little weight. Drop the glasses. He's looking, he's looking slick now. Next thing you know, he's going to be working out with weights. He says in verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. What is it causes man to forget God? Prosperity. He says in verse number 12, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Christian people get prosperous and God begins to bless them and they forget about God. You see, we the Bible said in Deuteronomy 32:15, Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked, and then he forsook God which made him. You know why America's forgotten God? She's got more in her trash cans than third world countries do on their dinner table. That's why you can take the gospel into a place that doesn't have anything and they'll receive it. You take it downtown Greenville and downtown Spartanburg and they'll spit in your face. Why? They got a whole man, they're prosperous. America's a prosperous nation. And God's the one that blessed them and they forgot God because they got prosperous. When this nation was struggling, and you know this nation used to be a red-headed stepchild. This nation was stepped on. This nation was not a world threat. Even in the turn of the last century, in the early 1900s, people didn't fear America.
Right.
Our military wasn't no great might. Mm-hmm. Not until after the Second World War. Listen, the Second World War is what boosted us into the position we're in now. And when did we start forgetting God? You got it. That's when we kicked God out of the school. Kicked him out of the courthouses. You know what? If they'd let me in the county jail and preach every day for a solid month, you wouldn't have no problems in there. Herd them all into one room and let me just preach to them one time a day for a month. I'll guarantee you'd transform the whole thing. But they ain't gonna let that happen. You know why? We forgot God. Got prosperous. We don't want God around here. We'll do it ourselves. We'll get education and we'll educate ourselves till we got so many degrees we'd call us Dr. Fahrenheit. And then we say, God, you move over. We'll show you how it's done with our humanistic philosophies. We just put more money into it, have more different programs for these guys, and we'll rehabilitate. You can't rehabilitate a guy. You cannot rehabilitate him.
Right.
Hey, man, you can give him an education and make him the president of the company, and he'll rob the company.
Right.
We saw Enron, did you not?
That's
not education, not a problem. It's the heart. You got to have a transformed heart.
Amen.
See, some of you this morning, God's speaking to you, man. He's pounding. You didn't know you was going to come into this. But God's talking to some folks in here this morning, and I ain't quitting until I'm done.
Amen.
Don't move. He made us
He fed us. He gave us His air to breathe. He prospered us. And we forgot Him.
Turn to Isaiah 17. I'm going to give you one last thing before we shut her down. What does forgetting God bring? Now, baby, let me tell you something. If you're here this morning and you go to a church where your pastor strokes you and he babies you and he pets you and you're living like the very devil and you never go in that church feeling convicted, you better get out of there. Because that rascal does not love you.
Amen.
He's a hireling, and I got some other names I call him, but I can't do it because I'm preaching. But I'm going to tell you this. If God took the angels that left not the first state and put them in Tartarus hell, which chains of darkness, He's got special places for liberal preachers.
Right.
I guarantee them suckers are going to breathe them fire in hell.
Amen.
You got an idea that all preachers say they're not. Isaiah 17, verse number 10. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation. You getting this? Look what he says. And hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. You didn't think about it. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. What does that mean? If you don't monkey with them, every child will come. And they get bitter and they get rejectful and all that because somebody's done got messing with them. But you forget. See, God tried to get you when you was a kid, but you didn't want to. You forgot the God of your salvation. You forgot Him. Here's the result. Therefore, because of this, shalt thou plant pleasant plants and shalt set it with strange slips. What God's saying is your life is like a garden. And since you forgot God, you're going to plant yourself a nice garden. Your life is a nice garden. And it's going to grow and it's going to prosper. And God's going to allow that to happen. But He says in the middle of all this, you're going to plant it with strange slips. Now what that means is, it means shoots that come from foreign soil. That means that you're going to be, your life, God is going to allow you to reach out and take things and plant into your life spirits that never, ever before in your life have you ever experienced. God's going to let you plant them into your life. There are gods that you're going to bring into your life that your mother and father never knew. Strange slips. Sprouts. Shoots from foreign soil. And that thing's going to prosper and it's going to bloom and it's going to grow. But look what he says in the next verse. Woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise. Excuse me, I skipped ahead. Verse 11. In the day thou shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest, there's always going to be a harvest, shall a heap be in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. I was talking to a woman not long ago. She had a great promise. She grew up in a very prosperous home. Graduated from high school and went to college. While she was in college, somebody introduced her to a strange slip. This was something she never was exposed to when she was growing up because her parents tried to guard and protect her. But instead of responding to the call of God as she was a child, hey, look here, pay attention while I'm preaching over here. Instead of responding to the call of God as she was a child, she rejected that. And so now God lets her plant her own garden, her life. You see, all of a sudden, she's introduced to people. These strange slips, these shoots from foreign soil bring into her life. And she said, the first time in my life I tried crack. And it brought a harvest. And she said, I was hooked from the first day. You see, crack cocaine is not a physical addiction. It's a spiritual addiction. Strange shoots. See, what's going to happen is that God is going to allow people to come into your life that are going to bring gods actually there's demon spirits that you've never experienced before. And you're going to be introduced to things that you never even knew existed. But when the harvest time comes, they're going to overrun your life. You know, I think about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed by seven devils. Now, we don't know what that was. Could have been the devil of alcohol. Could have been the devil of immorality. Could have all kind of... See, there are people who indulge in all these things, and they don't realize that they're playing with the demon spirits. They don't... See, this is a spiritual battle we're facing here. We're spiritual beings. We're not just physical beings. We're spiritual beings. And all the world, you read the papers and see the news, and all they want to deal with is the physical aspects or maybe the emotional. We're spiritual beings. And there's spirits throughout this whole world. Listen, there was a maniac of Gadara, had a legion of demons. And I would guarantee that he never thought when he first started dabbling in those sins, it was ever going to come to that. But it did. And when that harvest came, it got a hold of him so to the point he couldn't get rid of it. See, right now, you say, well, I can shake this off. Yeah, you probably could. But there's coming a day when all these sprouts you put in your life are going to spring up and bear fruit. You won't be able to shake it off then. And the sad case is that most people never get to the point where they ever find true freedom. Now, you remember what we said in Jeremiah 3? Go back to Jeremiah 3 and look at this. I'm about done, so just hang on a minute. Jeremiah chapter 3. But I'm getting ready to give you something here. Jeremiah chapter 3, look in verse 22. What's the very first word there? Return. Now, what is that? That's an invitation. Who gave the invitation? God did. You mean God? I'm talking about the one that sits in the heavens. I'm talking about God Almighty, God the Father. You know what he's saying to every person in this building, no matter where you've been, in the dregs and the muck and the mire, you know what he's saying? Return. Return. That's an invitation. And he didn't specify, he didn't clarify that, he didn't exclude anyone. He said, return who? Oh, backsliding children. So no matter where you've backslid to, he's asking you to come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Whosoever will, let him come and partake of the water of life freely. Now, here's the question. Will you believe that? The invitation's been given, but will you believe it? Where you're sitting right now, will you take God at his word when he says one thing to you, return? Now, he's not going to tell you to return if he doesn't intend to receive you when you get there. When the prodigal son came home, you don't find the father kicking him. You don't find the father even bringing up the past. When he came back, the past is done. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. It's under the blood. Return. Just return. Now, every backslid Christian in this building, you know God that you went away from the Lord. He give you the same invitation. Return. God's been good to you. He delivered you from Egypt. He saved you. Listen, some of you, where would your life be right now? I'm not talking about spiritually. I'm talking about physically. Not only did he save your soul, but he saved your life.
Amen.
You owe him.
Yes, you
are. Return. Come to him. He wants to be your friend. There ain't nobody loves me like Jesus.
Amen.
My wife loves me. I believe she does. Jennifer loves me. I believe she loves me gooder than snuff. I really do. I believe that. And I believe if I ever got a place where I couldn't go and Fran wasn't around, I believe Jennifer would take care of it. I may be badly fooled, but I believe it. But there ain't nobody loves me like Jesus does. Folks, I love you. But all I am is a reflection of that love. But his love is pure. Will you come to him? Will you just take him at his word? Will you be done with that sinfulness? See, I already know some of you sitting here tonight, this morning you're wrestling right now. You fighting this thing. You don't want to give this up. You're a fool.
Amen.
Because I've been where you are. I walked out of a Baptist church one night when I was 18 years old, and the Holy Spirit tried to save me, and I said, no, I got too much sinning I want to do before I come to Jesus. And you know what I said this morning? I thought I had gone too far to be saved. Because when I left the church that night, I was weak in my knees, and the thought came to me, this was your last chance. Scared me to death, but not enough to go back. Your life is wrapped up in something you know God ain't pleased with. But you can't get saved until you're willing to get rid of that. I ain't saying you got to change nothing. I ain't saying you got to clean up. I'm just saying you've got to have a heart that's willing. That's all. I'm willing. If you'll come with a yielded heart, he'll fix it. I'm telling you right now, we got testimony after testimony after testimony of people that God fixed. If they just believe him, that's all he wants. He wants to be believed.